Today's New Testament lesson comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Let us listen to the word together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I said to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have a different gift according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. It is the teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament lesson this day comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. Listen for the word of the Lord. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And truly, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Perhaps you have heard the saying, the description of the human body in this way. For quite a while, it has been said that the human body regenerates itself on a cellular basis every 7 years. Anybody ever heard something like that? Every 7 years. Well, guess what? We have newsflash update. Because modern science now tells us much more specific detail on this topic. So, as it pertains to the human body and its cellular regeneration, we now know that your taste buds are replaced and regenerated every 10 days. We know that your lungs, on a cellular basis, are completely replaced every 3 weeks. We know that your skeleton is completely replaced every 10 years, and that your stomach is completely replaced and cellularly replaced every 5 days. We also know that your brain neurons are replaced every 20 to 30 years, and your heart cells replace themselves about 3 to 4 times in a lifetime. And of special note, because this is not changed in the new science, our skin cells replace themselves every few days, which accounts for all the dust in our homes. 50% or more of dust are dead skin cells. So we clearly see that as God has created the human body, there's a plan. There's a plan for its continuation on a healthy basis, and that plan is more and more understood through these details. Today, we continue a sermon series on victorious living. The idea being that Scripture teaches us that there's a specific way to follow God's plan so that we can live above all those things that seek to demean us, divide us, destroy us. And living above those things, we are victorious. They don't go away, we just get above them and learn how to live at God's level. So, using the skin and the stomach and all the details I've just mentioned as an example of God's plan for perpetual renewal of the body, we think now for a few moments about God's plan for the perpetual renewal of our souls. The text that you heard Pastor Ji-sun read and the one that I read come together to talk about renewal. The Old Testament lesson from Isaiah is especially valuable because it gives us this wonderful historical example of how God came into the midst of a people and helped them renew, to become victorious and rise above what was demeaning and dividing and defeating them. So we go back in history. We go back to the year 957 BC, before Christ. That was the year that Israel, the Jewish people, reached their peak. They had finally, after coming into the Promised Land, after building the temple in Jerusalem and securing it, after King David in the year 1000 comes to be the great king and the Israelites the powerhouse of the region. Then, but a few years later, counting backwards, of course, 957, the temple, the great temple, is completed. Solomon, David's son, finishes the building of the temple, and historians talk about how that year, with the completion of the temple, that was the pinnacle, the top of Israel's influence and significance. But it only took 300 years for them to go from the top to the bottom. It was in the year 586 BC that we find that Israel has so ignored God's commands, so wandered from the truths of their faith, that ultimately, as always when we so wander, things fall apart, that their whole faith and cultural experience was falling apart, leading them to be vulnerable to rival nations. And so in that year, 586, the Babylonian nation, from current-day Iraq, the city of Babylon, came into Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city walls, and overcame and destroyed Israel. When that happened, and the way things were done in those days, the Israelite people were not all killed, but rather, they were taken into exile to Babylon, 1,000 miles to the east. So they came in, these Babylonian folk, and they took almost all the people, and this great, great long procession of exiles, the Jewish people now exiles, were taken to Babylon, where the intent was that they be incorporated into the Babylonian culture, that they live there, and simply their culture would disappear as it's amalgamated into the Babylonian culture. And so think about how the Jewish people were feeling. It was their low point, this exile. Their low point of spiritual failure. Their low point of emotional strength. Their low point of being distant from God. And in their understanding, that distance was especially represented by being distant from the temple where the presence of God was understood to be. The low point for them was this soul weariness brought on by this exile. Now you perhaps can identify. Oh, probably you've never been taken exile, but you understand soul weariness. You understand the idea and the experience when God seems distant. You understand the experience when you just have nothing more to give, when your prayers seem to go nowhere. You understand what it's like when loss comes and the death of a dear one, or the loss of a job, or the loss of a relationship, or a family falling apart. All of these terrible things do continue to happen. And when that happens, we become soul weary, not unlike the Jewish exiles. Once in the newspaper, there was a report of a bridge which had collapsed. And the newspaper article said, the title said, "Bridge Collapses, Mental Fatigue Suspected." Well, of course, the mistake there was it should have said metal fatigue suspected. But we can take a message from that, because things collapse as mental, spiritual fatigue overwhelms us and defeats us and diminishes us. And you perhaps know that feeling, because it does happen. And I have known that feeling. So we think now about this perpetual renewal plan of God, about how God has this physical renewal plan, as we've talked about the cellular replacement by God's perfect design. So does it not make perfect sense that God has also designed a spiritual renewal plan, not only for our body, but for our souls? And that spiritual renewal plan is revealed in Isaiah. Isaiah says in his writing to the exiles, as God lifts him up as a prophet and says to Isaiah, "Speak to the people, speak to them my words, and say this: Have you not heard? Do you not know? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." Therein, an affirmation of how God renews the soul of people, and a people, the Jewish people. So remember that you have been in these wilderness places. You have been soul weary also. And that these words from Isaiah are ever as much for you and for me in this time and in our times of weariness as they were for the Jewish people. Isaiah does, by saying, remember something. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He's calling them to remembrance. Now, I happen to personally think that there is a sense of sarcasm in Isaiah's writing here. Because these Jewish people have had 1,200 years of spiritual history to draw upon. And they knew their Torah. They knew their faith. They knew how God had renewed and strengthened and brought through Moses and David and Solomon and Esther and all the great heroes of their faith. They knew that. So I think in some degree, Isaiah is a little sarcastic. Haven't you heard? Don't you remember? I can almost see Isaiah, if he's in the presence of some of these folks, slapping him up upside the head. Wake up, can't you remember? What's wrong with you? Remember, this is God we're talking about, no third-rate deity. This is God, the creator of the ends of the earth, Almighty God. Remember. And that's the same message we need to take from Isaiah today. Remember who we're talking about here. The creator of the ends of the earth. Almighty God who doesn't grow tired or weary. This God will renew your strength and provide you with strength for whatever the task and the challenge may be. Now, the Jewish people had 1,200 years of this testimony from Scripture. You and I, we have a lot more because we have the whole experience from Isaiah all the way to Jesus, through Jesus, and 2,000 years of history, seeing how God has lifted up, renewed, and brought forth strength and vitality in countless people throughout history. And you have some friends and neighbors who would testify to the same to you, and maybe you could testify that as well. Remember who we're talking about here. Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And we know, as we have seen that history, biblical and elsewhere, that when you get knocked down, God picks you up. When you get lost, God brings you back to the path. When you get forgotten, God says, I'm here. There is not one character in the scripture, save Judas, who did not find themselves fallen down, weak, wandering, lost, who God did not subsequently pick up and renew. Not one. That's what God does. And that's what God can do. So Isaiah says, remember who we're talking about here. Remember what God can do. He can renew. He can lift up. He can give you strength when you're weary. All the things that you and I need when we are down, God can do. He can do it in our bodies. More importantly, he can do it in our souls. I don't like to brag, but I do want to boast a little about one of my greatest accomplishments. One of my greatest accomplishments was when I was in high school, in freshman year, taking Latin. Latin. That year was one of the great accomplishments for me because at the end of the first marking period, my report card said D minus. D minus. My great accomplishment? It wasn't an F. And as I reflected on that accomplishment, as I thought, I made it through barely. But I did. I remember thinking and asking God, give me help, give me strength, because there was no escape in the next four marking periods. And so I had to keep on going. And I remember praying and asking God to help me and studying really hard. And as I did, inch by inch it felt, I crawled and clambered my way through all of the difficulties of Latin. And it's hard. And then, at the end of the year, I looked at that report card, and I realized another great accomplishment for the year. My grade was a C minus. Now, that's a small matter in history, but in my soul and in my experience, I remember thinking, God helped me. But when did God help me? God helped me at my lowest point. At my lowest point. Renewal from God often comes when we're at our lowest point. And so we can have the attitude that we may be down, but we are never out. We may feel empty, but God's always there. And we can have the hopeful, optimistic, Christ-like attitude that whatever comes, we will endure, we will renew, we will be victorious. Rolls-Royce makes what some say is the best automobile in the world. The president of Rolls-Royce once was being interviewed, and they said, well, does Rolls-Royce ever need to go in for servicing? And the president of the company said, a Rolls-Royce car never breaks down, although it may temporarily fail to proceed. Always that assurance, always that confidence that it will be all right. So, if God renews our bodies cellularly, think about when he does it. Think about the design. Your cells and all organs and parts of our bodies, our cells are restored and renewed when the full life of the previous cell is just about over, at the lowest point of that cell's vitality. And then, just before that cell is finished at that lowest point, a new cell comes. New life. But when is it? At the lowest point, at the final stage of vitality of the former cell, that's when God's design comes to be. That's when life is restored. And that's what Isaiah is saying to the Jewish people and to us. When we are at our lowest point, that is when God renews our strength. That is when God gives us what we need to move forward, helps us to find hope in the hopeless times. But it's often at that lowest place. I had to get to that lowest place of a D-, and then I felt God's strength, because that's when I most completely turned to and asked for God's renewing power. At that low place, God lifts us up. And then, at the end of the passage we read, Isaiah said, God doesn't just renew you when you're weary, but he lifts you up as if on eagle's wings. So remember, friends, it is God's design and will for you to be lifted above the storms, to be renewed in faith and strength, and to soar like eagles. May it happen to you through your faith. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for revealing to us your will, your plan, your desire for us, both physically and especially spiritually. Help us this day to understand more fully how you have made us and what you wish for us. Help us to rise above all that seeks to demean and diminish and divide us. Help us to soar on eagle's wings by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.